Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Dustin. I'm with Cherry Street Mission. This is a fun annual tradition to get to come share at these Mission Sundays that you all do. I love seeing churches that are so supportive and active and involved in the community outside the walls. And so great job to all of you, and keep it up. I'll be brief as I kind of give just an update as a few things that are going on right now, and then we've got a table out there that I'd love to talk with you a little bit more. Before I do, there's a scripture that I've been referencing a lot lately, especially with those that we've been working with, right? It's in John's Gospel. The New Living Translation words it this way. It says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." Right. Now, this is the light is referring to Jesus here. It's in the beginning of John's Gospel, a gospel that's going to end in his betrayal, torture, and death, about as dark of a place as you can imagine. And yet, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. It's an important reminder that darkness ultimately holds no power over light. The only way for darkness to fill up a room, to fill up a community, to fill up a town, the only way for darkness to fill up a room is for the light to give up. And God does not, has not, and will not give up on you or anyone that we are working with and serve. And I share this because, working with folks experiencing homelessness can feel a lot of times like you're in a dark place. Any individual that you talk to, it's a heartbreaking story of trauma and pain and suffering and whatever led them to that situation. But it's even can feel like darkness on a macro level. So we've seen our need for emergency services grow year over year. In 2024, we served 1,945 unique individuals with just basic needs of shelter, food, clothing, bathrooms, stuff like that. In 2025, that number increased over 250 to 2,196. And as far as 2026, based off of this winter, we might be on pace to serve even more than that. So it can feel daunting, it can feel overwhelming, it can feel like darkness, and yet the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So at Cherry Street, we don't just try to meet the increasing demand of those emergency services when people land with us. We have many services, and so we try to walk alongside folks as they launch from there. And I know I've shared on things in the past, and I'm happy to talk more, but there's two sort of big initiatives I want to just highlight first. The first one is you may notice some construction in the next coming months as we break ground on an apartment complex. It will be called Mission Point, right across the street from our Life Revitalization Center. It's a 65-unit permanent supportive housing complex. What that means is prioritizing folks that have experienced homelessness for a year or more with their own permanent apartment, their own place, bathroom, kitchen, bedroom, right, that's theirs. They can be there as long as they need or want. But that they will be also connected to supportive services, services that are going to check in on them to hopefully help them thrive in that situation. And so that's one initiative that we'll be breaking ground on this year, but it probably won't be official till 2027. So I wanted to share one more thing that is going to be open and happening soon that you all can participate in if you want, and that is we're opening a thrift store. Actually in South Toledo on the Heather Downs and Reynolds area, we're going to have Cherry Street Thrift in the old Joanne Fabrics building. So rest in peace, Joanne Fabrics, but we're excited to be moving into that place. One important thing to note is that anytime that someone donates to us and it's going to meet a direct need, right? It's hygiene products, underwear, clothes, shoes, stuff like that. That is still going to directly go to our guests, to the folks that we serve that need it. But things that are donated in abundance or things that are donated like household goods and stuff like that that we might not use initially, we will send to thrift. And so that allows donors to donate in ways beyond just money, praise God. It also allows the proceeds to support more of the mission and the ministry. And there will be some cool church partnership opportunities that I will hopefully be reaching out to about in the near future. So the last thing I want to close with is if you see our table out there, I brought in a little art canvas. It was done by our guests, folks that are staying with us, through an organization called Street Art Missions. And what I actually did was I asked them to, I gave them a couple prompts to draw canvases that we used in like a Good Friday, well, a Holy Week, Good Friday, and an Easter service. So we have, just so you know, we have Bible studies that happen every day of the week that folks are invited to. I do a Sunday afternoon chapel service, so I'll be there after this. And I often like to use just the gifts, the talents, the stuff that our folks have to share in those areas of worship. And so the canvas out there is just a beautiful reminder that what often looks like an ending in Christ can be a new beginning. What often feels like darkness is a season to pass through, because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Thank you all. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Paul Shryock. I'm here with Kairos Prison Ministries, which I understand my good friend Paul Ackerman probably has told you about some before. But Stan and I are here to bring you up to date on what Kairos is doing. But first, let me give you a little bit of background, if you've not heard it, about what Kairos Prison Ministries really is. Kairos is an international ministry. It's not just within the confines of Toledo Correctional. We have ministries in 13 countries around the world, in 500-plus prisons and communities, and over 40,000 volunteers around the world spend over 3 million man-hours a year in sharing the gospel with those incarcerated and those affected by incarceration around the world. Pardon me. In the state of Ohio, we are in 15 men's prisons, in 2 women's prisons, 2 youthful offenders facilities, and 2 Kairos outside communities. And a quick word about Kairos outside. Kairos outside is designed specifically to minister to those women that are affected by the incarceration of men in their lives, the daughters, the mothers, the wives. And again, the entire focus of Kairos is to minister to those affected by incarceration. A sad statistic, speaking of darkness, Cherry Street, a sad statistic in the United States, for those men and women that have been incarcerated for 5 years or longer, 95% don't get a phone call, a letter, or a visit. Their entire world is collapsed into that very dark place called a prison. That's where Kairos Inside goes into. Kairos Inside is specifically focused at creating Christian community inside of the prison. That's what Kairos Inside does. And we do that through a number of steps that Stan will tell you about in just a minute. But Kairos at Toledo Correctional has been around for 20-some years. We had our first Kairos weekend inside Toledo Correctional in the fall of 2003, which has been a long time. And we have been privileged to share the love of Christ with over 1,200 men. I will call them residents. We don't call them inmates. They're called that enough. And countless prison staff through the years. And the warden and the chaplains over the years have told us in very clear language that the love of Christ has changed that place. It shines a light into a dark place. So, Stan, tell us a little bit about specifically Kairos Inside.
Good morning, First Alliance Church family. My name's Stan, and I am with Kairos as well. Very privileged to serve the Lord in this way. Kairos Inside, this is where the work of the Holy Spirit really does its lifting and does its changing. The first thing that we do is we go in twice a year for 3.5 days inside the prison, and we minister and meet 24 new inside residents that are going through the weekend program. We're there 12, 14, 16 hours a day from Thursday through Sunday. They graduate, all of them that make it. Upon graduation, then they're invited to come back for our Thursday prayer and shares. Thursday prayer and shares are 3 hours. We go in around noon and come out around 3:30. And we're one-on-one in small groups with the inside residents. And that's where we build the trust and spend the time with them to do God's work. So the Thursday prayer and share is the ultimate goal that we want to get these guys to, because they don't get out of their cells but an hour or two a day. And if we can get them up to the chapel on Thursdays and Sundays, it makes a huge difference. For the weekend, we get 24 new residents. They're selected by the chap and by God, and it's an amazing thing that happens there. Without fail, I think we hear every time we go in for a weekend, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're getting the worst of the worst each and every time. And by the time the weekend's over and Christ does his work, we see new men. We've got 30 to 35 outside volunteers that go in for the weekend with different roles. The weekend is very structured. The Kairos program is befitting of a loving God, and it's wonderful, and we follow it pretty closely. We're always looking for new outside volunteers. And other ways that you can serve besides volunteering, you can serve on a team, volunteer, and that's the way to get to the Thursday prayer and shares. Bake cookies. Paul Ackerman is at this church, and I know he's got a lot of volunteers, so I want to take this opportunity to thank you all for making the cookies. On a weekend, we may go through 35,000 cookies, and you wouldn't believe the power that has in walking these fellows to Christ. We have a prayer vigil that you can sign up for. It's pretty powerful. We put a banner up with the whole weekend, all the time slots. They're half hour. To see each and every one of those booked up is powerful. There's incarcerated men all over the world that are praying as well. But that will be invited. You'll be invited to participate in that in September when we have our next weekend. The closing service. On Sunday, we have a closing service. Anybody who wants to attend that to get a feel for what it's like or just to get a dose of the Holy Spirit, we welcome you to that. There is some Nexus reports we have to fill out and some security, of course. Financial support, we can always use some donations. We're doing all this on 20 grand a year, so it's pretty tight. And placemats. We'll talk to you about placemats, too. We put those out for the meals, and we have kids that draw them. We have Sunday schools, different sources. But there again, you can't believe the effect on the fellows on that. They take them with them, so that pretty much says it all. So we'll be here afterwards, too. Thank you for your time. I'm sorry I went a little long. Thank you.
Good morning, church. See some new faces around here. My name is Jason Horton. I'm with True North Ministries in North Toledo. And I have to say it again. I feel like I've been saying this for years. We could not do the work that we do without you. So without it becoming some kind of platitude or just thing that I say, I want to tell you earnestly from my heart, the work of God that's going on through True North in North Toledo is happening because First Alliance Church is helping make it possible. So thank you. The mission of True North has been and continues to be identifying and addressing unmet need in North Toledo through acts of service and the building of Christian community. And this summer, we'll celebrate 13 years of being present in North Toledo and serving our ministry area. Our ministry area is right smack dab in the middle of 43608, which is the second poorest zip code in Toledo, second to 43604, which is where First Alliance Church happens to be. And in case you're curious why 43604 is number one, is you have Vistula neighborhood to your north, kind of the northern border, which is the southern border of our neighborhood. You have three or four shelters in your downtown area. And then just to your west, you have Inglewood neighborhood, all of which provide unique and special ministry opportunities for you as a church family, and I know that you do serve in your neighborhood, and so I'm especially grateful that you include us as a member of your community and continue to remember North Toledo The last census data that I pulled up said that 49% of my neighbors, almost half of my neighbors, have no earnings from working a job, and that could mean that they're disabled, it could mean that they're retired, or that they're just simply unemployed. And another 22% reported only having part-time earnings. And I paint that picture so that you can see how much your support makes a difference in our community. If my washer or my dryer breaks down, I can repair or I can replace them. I have the ability to do that. If my car battery dies or I have some other car issue, I can have it repaired. I can buy another battery. And I'll even have transportation to and from work uninterrupted while I'm waiting on that car in the shop because of my personal financial picture. But by the numbers, 71% of my neighbors have been thrust into a financial crisis when some of the ordinary things in life happen to them, car repairs and other things like that. And that is assuming two things. First of all, that the 71% of people who are living with a very limited income aren't already in a crisis from some other pre-existing thing, and two, that the 29% of full-time earners are A, making a living wage, and that they are B, living within their means and prepared to answer those problems. Many times, the folks who are working part-time are providing for a very large household or multiple households. And if you've worked with people in poverty, people coming out of generational poverty, you know that most of the time those two conditions are not going to be met. So when we provide a meal for a family who's grieving the loss of a parent or the loss of a child, as happens sometimes with the violence in our community, that gift is significantly outsized than when we pay for some kind of service or we just help to mow their lawn or do something. Those gifts are outsized for what their dollar amount would be when we attend a baby shower. And we point people in the direction of resources, including many of our own home mission partners are great resources that we refer people to. When we're able to give gifts to these new families, whether it's their first kid or their second or third kid, it's not just the thing on the registry they needed, but we're able to generate a much larger impact as being part of their network. When we've paid for car repairs or the washers or the dryers or when we've replaced plumbing in people's homes, those things go far beyond just the financial opportunity there. We're bringing stability in a moment of crisis. And in Proverbs 18, it says, the gift makes way for the giver, or if you like the King James, a man's gift maketh room for him. And that's what we're doing, is we are asking God to make room for the gospel in the lives of the lost sheep of North Toledo, because there is so much lack of trust in our community. People are living generally in a significant amount of fear for a number of different reasons that they may be doing that or living in fear. And we have to earn the right to have those transformative conversations. We have to earn the trust of the people, and I have to earn the right to stand in their living room and tell them about Jesus. So discipleship will always be based on trust. It's trust first, and then we can offer discipleship. We're identifying and we're addressing the unmet need. We're doing the acts of service, and we're building Christian community in North Toledo because of what you've done to support us. And again, I'm thankful for that. So how can you pray for us? We have a bunch of new parents, especially just like in the one block area around my home. And my wife is doing remarkable work with those moms, coaching them through all of the new mom questions, offering breastfeeding support, offering safe sleep report, helping them get referrals out to either city, county, or nonprofit agencies that can help support them on their parenting journey. The rate for SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, is 3 times higher among people in poverty, and that is something that we want to see whatever we can do to avoid children dying needlessly in our community. We want to do that. So pray for our families. And pray for those people that will be raising the next generation of youth in North Toledo. For our upcoming Bible studies this summer, we're going to continue to do in our community. Pray for those that the Holy Spirit would open hearts and minds to the Word of God. We are in a society where we are just trained to look at the issue du jour. We want to see whatever the problem or crisis that's front page in the news and talk about that. And if we get caught up, and this is how these Bible studies can go sometimes, if we get caught up living in the issues and with whatever's right in front of us, we'll fail to lift our eyes and see the eternal God who is above all things and is through all things and simultaneously cares about our daily stressors, that cares about the issues, but it's about our priorities, that God would open people's hearts to the Word so that they can first seek the God who loves them and bring their issues to Him, and we can answer those as a community. If you think to pray for me, for my wife, for those who partner with us in ministry, for our board member, I want you to remember 1 Corinthians 2:2-5, where Paul says, "I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." I don't think we need any more opinions in North Toledo. We need to see the influence of the Holy Spirit. So thank you for supporting True North in that work for the last 13 years. We look forward to doing the next 13 with you.
Good morning, First Alliance. My name is Sarah Hall, and I am here on behalf of the board of TGRM. TGRM stands for Toledo Gospel Rescue Mission, for those of you who don't know. So I'm going to give a little bit of history because some of you may not know who TGRM is. We started back in the 50s, so we've been around for over 70 years as a soup kitchen. Eventually we grew into our men's shelter, and if you are a thrifter, we also have our mission mall. And word on the street is if you go to the Mission Mall, you might also find some brand new items there. So if I were you, I would visit us down on Woodruff, which is connected to our administrative offices. But that's not all. We also have Rebecca's Haven. And if you haven't heard of what Rebecca's Haven is, that is our arm of ministry that houses single women and their children. And it's their young children up to about age 13. And our goal this year is to open up our second house for Rebecca's Haven. That will allow us the ability to double our housing for single women and their children. We also intend on deepening our discipleship courses and strengthening our infrastructure. At TGRM, we're able to not just give them a warm meal and a place, safe place to stay at night, but we're also able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. So not only is the physical man fed, but also the spiritual man is fed. And we can't do that without our great volunteers and staff and churches like yourself. And as a matter of fact, from what I'm told, is our partnership with First Alliance Church goes back before even my time. Back to about 1973, when you were known as Toledo Gospel Tabernacle. So we have a long, long, long history of partnership with your church, and we thank you so much for your partnership with us. And if you're thinking, if you didn't get a chance to stop by the table before service, and you're thinking, how can I get involved? How can I invest my time, my talent, and my treasure? You can go to tgrm.org right on our website, and you can click on for volunteers, and someone for our office will get back with you guys. Thank you so much.
Good morning, friends. It is so good to be here with you. You guys are like our second family at Waterford Ishmael. We have some teammates here among us, and I'm grateful for their presence as well. I feel like I need to bring greetings from Lead Community Church. I know you guys know Michael and Janine and Kendra. As of Easter Sunday, we are sharing space. So we're super excited to have them in our building and look forward to what Jesus is going to do as we share that space together. This is the unscripted part. Water for Ishmael is in a place that we never expected to be in. You know, we're kind of in this niche little corner of the world serving the immigrant and the international community, and we never expected to be the grounds on which all of politics are fighting over. We never really thought of what we do as a political thing, and I don't want to talk about politics today. But it is the context in which we live, and it's been an interesting and incredibly difficult season for all of my team. We are confused, we are hurting, we are praying and asking God to give us his heart in this, and I don't think we have all the answers at all. I think God is working in each one of us to conform us to the image of Jesus. So I come to you humbly today, just sharing with you what's happening in our little corner of the world, with an attempt to try and look at it from God's perspective and to share with you what I'm trying to learn, what I hope my team is trying to learn, and what all of us as followers of Christ should humbly be trying to conform our hearts to be aligned with the heart of Jesus. So there's a film called Life is Beautiful. It's in Italian with subtitles. There's this scene in Italy just before World War II where adults are discussing a math problem given to third graders. The math problem asks students to calculate how much money the government would save if it eliminated people who were considered unproductive, the disabled, the vulnerable. What's chilling is not the problem, it's the reaction. I have a short clip to show you. The movie is in Italian, so you will need to watch the screen for the English subtitles.
E non dico a Berlino, addirittura in provincia, a Grefeneck. Terza elementare. Ascoltate questo problema. Me lo ricordo perché mi ha colpito. Problema. Un pazzo costa allo Stato 4 marche al giorno. Uno storpio, 4 marche e mezzo. Un epilettico, 3 marche e 50. Visto che la quota media è 4 marche al giorno e i ricoverati sono 300.000, quanto si risparmierebbe se questi individui venissero eliminati, soppressi?
Dio mio, non è possibile.
La stessa reazione che ho avuto io, Dora. Dio mio, non è possibile. Non è possibile che un bambino di 7 anni risolva un problema di questo genere. Il calcolo è complesso. Le proporzioni, le percentuali, ci vuole un minimo di informazione algebrica, no? Un problema da scuola superiore per noi.
Ma no, basta una moltiplicazione. Quanto ha detto che sono questi storpi? 300.000?
Sì.
300.000 per 4. Se li ammazziamo tutti risparmiamo 1.200.000 marche al giorno. Facile, no?
Esatto, bravo. Ma tu sei grande e grosso. In Germania lo propongono ai bambini di 7 anni. Veramente un'altra razza.
E non dico a Berlino, eh. Addirittura in provincia.
So if you didn't catch the subtitles, they were discussing a math problem of how much money they would save the state if they eliminated certain people. And the thing that was shocking to everyone was not the subject matter, but the fact that we would give such difficult math to seven-year-olds. No one objects to the idea of eliminating people. They just say that's too difficult of a math problem for third graders. And you realize something has gone terribly wrong. When people are reduced to numbers, when human beings are measured by cost, when the question is not, is this wrong, but is this efficient, we've lost our way. And the uncomfortable question for us is, are there ways that we too have slowly learned to see people as less than fully human? Genesis tells us that every person is made in the image of God. The Gospel of Luke says something even more poignant. I've modernized a bit for us, but this is the basic story. One day, a seminary professor asked Jesus what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. Jesus asked him to answer his own question according to his knowledge and study of God's word. The professor answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "That's right," Jesus said. "Do this, and you will live." But the man wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus to define who is a neighbor. In Luke 10, we hear Jesus answer the question, "Who is my neighbor?" with a story. And the hero is an outsider. A citizen was traveling from one city to another when he got carjacked by thugs. They beat him up. They took everything, including his clothes, and they left him on the side of the road, half dead. A pastor was traveling the same way, but when he saw the man, he swerved to the other side of the road to avoid him. A church secretary was also traveling that way. She slowed down to take a look, but then passed by on the other side. Then a man with dark eyes and a heavy accent came along. When he saw the injured man, he felt compassion for him. He treated the man with remedies passed down in his family for generations. He bandaged his wounds, put him in his car, and took him to the nearest town that had a small 30-bed clinic. He watched over him through the night, and in the morning, swiped his credit card at the registration desk to cover any current and future charges. Jesus asked the professor, "Which of the people was a neighbor to the man attacked by bandits?" The man answered, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus' response, "Yes, go now, do the same." And Jesus shifts the question from who qualifies as my neighbor to will you be a neighbor to the person in front of you? I'm here representing Water for Ishmael, and our organization's theme for this year is the person in front of you. And we see that lived out beautifully in all of the ministries that you've already heard from today. When someone walks through their doors, they're not first asked about their past or their record or their addictions. They're asked, "What do you need?" And they are seen. They are welcomed. This is the heart of Jesus. I want to bring this a little closer to home. At Water for Ishmael, we serve many Haitian families. Right now, Haiti is experiencing such extreme violence that our own government has issued its highest level warning on the Department of State website. It says, "Do not travel to Haiti due to kidnapping, crime, terrorist activity, civil unrest, and limited health care." And yet, many of the families we know are facing the possibility of being sent back. These are not statistics. These are parents we know, children we know. There's a particular family that has a young child who was born here, a U.S. citizen. These parents face impossible choices. Do they take their child back with them into a situation that is deeply unsafe? The child may not see adulthood. Do they allow their child to enter the U.S. foster care system? Or do they hand over legal custody of their child to someone else and say goodbye? No parent should have to make those choices. And whatever we think about policies or politics, when you're sitting across the table from a mother and you know her child's name, the question changes. Remember the Good Samaritan? Jesus shifted the question from who qualifies as my neighbor to will you be a neighbor to the person in front of you? And today, Jesus does not ask us first, what's your position on the issue? No. He asks, will you love the person in front of you? Will you see them as made in God's image? Will you respond with compassion? Because it's possible to talk about groups of people and lose sight of the person right in front of us. Scripture tells us that if we claim to love God, but carry hatred, contempt, or even indifference towards others, something's not aligned in our hearts. So my invitation to you and to me today is simple. Lord, give me your eyes for the person in front of me. Where my heart has grown hard, soften it. Where I've reduced people to categories, remind me that they bear your image and teach me to love as you love. We may not be able to solve everything, but we are always called to love the person God places right in front of us.